I'm just out of the press conference. I am driving away, so apologies if the audio isn't as good as you would normally have. And there's been a lot going on since our last main podcast. And obviously, it takes time to produce the podcasts, and people have got to be available, and people have got to be wanting to do it. And with all the various things that was going on, so for example, myself, I was at the fan meeting on Wednesday night. Ross Hall also attended it virtually. So we will have another podcast on that. Also well aware that, you know, the Celtic fans group is not one homogenous group. And for lots of people, they really enjoy watching Celtic. And whilst they can be irritated at board shenanigans, they might not necessarily want it covered every second of every day and everything that we produce. So we're also aware of that. And we will be podcast talking about the games. I know for myself, my level of anger has diminished slightly. It's always there as an undercurrent, but there's also the aspect of the fact that I'm a Celtic fan first and foremost. One of my great leisure enjoyments is going to watch Celtic play football. And I'm not sure that the club's in such a precarious position that at this stage I would give that up, despite all my frustrations and all my angers. And I suppose that comes from my belief that replacing Michael Peter and Chris Mackay would not achieve anything but the self-satisfaction that people have been removed from their jobs, and that the real nub of the issue lies at Dermot. And I'm not sure that we're going to be able to remove a guy that's worth £1.5 billion, who doesn't live in Glasgow, doesn't get the grief every day of the week, and is quoted in the Celtic Opus as talking about, if a million people were saying one thing, I'd be the 1,000,001th person who would take their own counsel. So, taking all of that into consideration, I think all we can hope for is incremental change. I would love something different. And that might be focusing on the non-executive directors, fan advisory board, and certainly what came clear from Brendan is that something has to give in terms of the way we look at operating the transfer policy every window. And again, we've written exhaustively on the podcast about that, and we've done, sorry, on the Substack about that, and we've done podcasts about it, and there will be more about all of this soon. But specifically on Brendan's press conference, I suspected it would be dynamite. It was suggested to me that he wouldn't be doing the bland stuff, and he doesn't disappoint. The audio of that is to follow. He certainly doesn't disappoint.
Brendan, how would you describe the mood amongst you and the players coming back off the break?
Well, we're obviously glad the window's shut, and I see a really good spirit back in the team again. I think naturally in the window you have that, especially in those last few weeks, you have the uncertainty and the instability, which will happen at a lot of clubs and most clubs. But yeah, now that is closed, and accept that it could have been better for us, but now it is behind us, and my job now as the manager is to pull everything together and get us moving again.
How big a task is that, given all the negativity that seems to have come out from the window, perhaps deadline day specifically? Mm-hmm. How big a challenge is it to pull everyone together?
Well, that's management, that's high performance, you know, in any sport. You know, you're not going to have it all your own way, and you know, we have to accept and take responsibility that the window wasn't as what we wanted. But now we have to get back now and really get tight as a group and as a squad, and I believe that we have talented players in the squad, and now it's my job to maximise the extent to which they can play the game, and that is the job of a manager and coach. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. As I said, we could have been better in the market, of course, but it is what it is, and you cannot look back on it now. I have to look forward, and I've already seen that in the last couple of days within the team.
Would it be fair to say that the striking position is the main area where it could have been better, to use your words? We spoke prior to it, you said Ademida would only go if a striker could be brought in. It obviously didn't quite happen. Talk us through, if you can, what happened there and how satisfied or otherwise you are with your striking option.
Yeah, I don't really want to go so much into the depths of how it all came about. Adam was a player that hadn't asked to leave and wasn't wanting to leave. But there was then the opportunity that came where Swansea wanted him around the same time as other possibilities that could have happened for us. So we didn't want to lose him, but when the opportunity came for him and Swansea agreed the deal and everything else, then it looked like there was maybe going to be one out and one coming in. It didn't work that way, and for whatever reason, we had to move on. Now, thankfully, at the end of the window when it was closed, that there was a player that was available and who I know very, very well. Kells was a player who was brilliant for me at Leicester, so I know him well. I only wanted to take in someone here who was robust and has genuine talent. And if I can get that out of him again, then it can be a big plus for us. So yeah, we lost Adam, and Adam made a really good contribution and lots of high moments here at his time, and still scored 20 odd goals for Celtic, which is no mean feat. But he moved on, and we've now got Kells in, and we've got some wingers on the side as well.
Do you sympathise with fans from the outside who feel that can be seen as sort of scrambling about, and there wasn't succession planning, and it wasn't under control, and you had to go into the free agent market last minute?
No, absolutely. It's that frustration is shared. We all felt that, absolutely. It's hence why months out we were saying about what we need in the squad, and I totally get that. And you respect your fans at your club. You know that's why we love Celtic and the Celtic support. It's a club with the passion and the commitment and the drive, and that's what keeps us honest as a team and as a club, because the expectation for us every day is to come in here and improve and be better. Why? Because we're expected to do that for the supporters. So they keep us honest, they keep us driving and pushing, and that's the way it should be.
Those supporters, Brendan, I think it's fair to say their patience has snapped. The anger right now, you're talking about 400 plus different organisations calling for a vote of no confidence in the board. How do you assess where the club is at the moment with the relationship with supporters? Because for many, they see it as just broken completely.
Listen, the club put out a statement, and I'm not here to answer those questions because they're not mine. That'll be something that, as I said, over the coming weeks, I'm sure will become clear on how that evolves. I'm not here to tell supporters how to feel. You know, they feel frustrated. They will have every right to feel that. My job is to drive wherever possible I can the team and the club forward. And if I look, when I come in here in 2016, the travellers have been done three times. And in 2016, from then, I look to elevate the mentality and the standard of a football club that over this course of 9 years now, the expectation is to win a treble. And that combination of that drive and demand that comes from the supporters, I know because I feel it, I grew up with it, so I understand what the demands are. And that will continue, because this club has huge potential. You know, the size, the support base that we have, the history of the club, and supporters want to see the club continue to develop, not just domestically. You know, the club have done that, and that's always your bread and butter, of course. But we have to be looking to be be more consistent in performing Europe.
You mentioned a statement. Does the communication from the club have to be better? I think the fans have been angered by that statement, calling it condescending, tone deaf as to what was required. 9 o'clock on a Saturday night is not what the fans were looking for as an explanation. Can you understand that? And does, as a club, the communication to supporters have to get better?
Well, yeah, I've always believed that the quality of your life is the quality of your communication. And if you can share that, and especially in this modern world where there's so many avenues open to communication, and then I believe that after this summer, I think that is something most definitely that the club will look at, because it gives you, listen, you can't always say everything and the real detail around happenings that are going on, but you certainly can engage, and I've got no doubt that will improve after this summer, because as I said, it's fans want it, the modern society demands it, and you can still run a really successful business by communicating well.
You mentioned before about ambition, and that's what, if you were to stay, would keep you here.
Mm-hmm.
How the club have handled it over the last couple of weeks in terms of the window, is that the level of ambition that would keep you here, or has the last 2 weeks impacted your thoughts on your future at this club?
So my thoughts currently is just purely on getting the team playing back with our identity again. That's my thinking. I think the last few weeks of the window impacted our players. Some will say it shouldn't, but it's natural because the players themselves know what was needed and what they wanted. And I think that gave our performance level what I felt we were in slow motion. And how we play, because our identity is all about speed and penetration, and when our game looks like that, we're a really good side. So that's my focus in this very moment, getting the identity of the team back and then looking forward into the competitions.
Brendan, you've talked about driving the team forward. You're not the man to stand still if Celtic don't want to progress. You're not the man for Celtic then. Do you feel that with the squad you've got for the rest of the season, you can drive the club forward, you can progress in the next 12 months?
Yeah, listen, my job as a manager, this is the situation that I'm now in. And I've never been more determined now, especially after the window's shut and where we're at, to succeed this season. It's also my duty. Now, my duty now is to develop the players that we have. Yeah, we can talk about what we have and what we haven't had, and we had opportunities to do other work, but we haven't for whatever reason. My job now, and this is the excitement that I have and the challenge that we have in terms of getting this team playing how I want them to play and bedding in the new players. And like I said, I have a duty for those guys that are here, the staff that are here, what we create, and then roll that out to the supporters and give them that excitement that is an expectation here.
You're talking just there about the communication change. You think it will change going forward after some of the communication from the club down to the supporters. Do you feel that the way the club operate in the transfer market needs to change as well, given that it wasn't the most successful window, or do you think it was just a one-off and the way the club has operated over the years will work again in future windows?
No, listen, my own personal take, and I can say it here because I'm not saying something that I haven't said a number of times behind here. I think that the business model of the club is highly successful. What we have to mirror that in with is the football squad and the makeup of the squad and how we build the squad, and not just investment but timing of investment. So there's absolutely no doubt that needs to be looked at, because it was pretty clear what we needed, and not just needed but needed it early, you know, because us football people are and supporters, our ambition is we want to be the highest possible level that we can be, you know, and it was clear that we have these qualification games. We go into last season, we spoke about it then, midway through the season, towards the end of the season. Summer 2025 was a critical window for us to get players in, any recycling of the squad, we had to be able to do it early to bring players in, so we were ready for these games. And we weren't ready.
Do you feel like
simple as that? So, now, can we learn from that? And we have to. If not, then the cycle will just continue.
Do you feel let down on the back of that, Brendan?
No, listen, we all want to work at the highest level. But we can only do everything we possibly can to be that. And listen, I also accept responsibility because we slipped up at home in the home game. So we're not getting away from that either. We weren't good enough at home in a game we should have won. And then you then go over to Kazakhstan and then you're relying on something there and then you go to penalties and all of a sudden you're out. But it's not about me. Yes, I want Celtic to be the very best that it can be. My ambition is for the club, for our supporters, for the players. So it's not a personal thing for me. I can only do my very best to improve what it is we need it to improve. Then whatever situation I'm in, I will then look to be the very best that I can be. The first time I was here, I probably left because of that. But I won't be doing that this time. Absolutely no chance. 100%. I said 150 the other week. We'll go back to 100. But as I said, my duty is to be here and help the team, the squad, the club get back again and moving on.
Did that ever cross your mind though, in the immediate aftermath of the window and the disappointment of your vision not really getting matched with the window itself? Did it cross your mind at any point in time in that immediate aftermath to walk away?
No, it didn't make me think to walk away. I just felt empty, if I'm honest. It was a long process and the weight is on your shoulders when you're here carrying everything. So then when it doesn't quite go the way you want, then of course you have an empty feeling. But then, you know, as one of the leaders of the club and particularly the manager of the team, you've got to get your head around it and you've got to deal with it, and then you've got to try and maximise the best of what you have, and that's what I've done all my career.
Brendan, given what you're saying, the general feeling is that you go at the end of the season. Can you give the fans any clarity on that?
No, it hasn't really changed from the last time. I think I mentioned it a few weeks back. I would love to stay here longer. I've had sort of informal chats with Dermot and Michael. I haven't had an offer yet to think over, and until that comes, then I'm not going to be so arrogant to say, yeah, I don't want to be here for another 3 years. The club might not want me. So I have to respect that. And until that happens, until there's something serious on a piece of paper, and then I just continue to do my job.
So even after everything that's happened, as you said, you felt empty at the end of the window, you would still be open to staying under the right circumstances?
Yeah, 100%. As long as everything's aligned, and we can operate how we want to. Absolutely, there's no. That's why I came back. I came back to hopefully stay for more than 3 years. What I would guarantee was that I would do 3 years, which, all been well, I've been categoric in that. So I want to do 3 years, and I'm more so determined than this year to do it. And if going forward, if I do get offered a deal, then of course there needs to be conditions within that allows me to work to the best I possibly can. If not, then it's maybe just there's two philosophies that don't quite add up, and I also accept that. I'll go away, I'll be a Celtic supporter for the rest of my life, and we'll go our separate ways. But my hope was to come back here to take the club forward. We've seen progress, we've seen Europe, we've seen everything, so can we sustain that? And it hasn't quite happened for us in the Champions League this, but I'm hopeful that in the future something can be resolved.
Given one of the things that was in the statement seemed to be a kind of reason given for lack of activity was FFP. Given the money Celtic had made this summer, I think it was about 13 million, the money they had in the bank last year, like 65 at last count, could you understand why people would struggle to get their heads around that as a reason for not doing more business?
Yeah, and like I say, they're not my questions to answer. it's the statement, so the statement was made, and I'm pretty sure that there, some of the guys, if the chief executive or the chairman sat here, then I'm sure they'd be speaking. But they're not, and they're not my questions to answer. But I understand why, when you have that level of resource, why we would ask the question.
Did you get any sort of explanation, Ben, from the board about why certain things didn't happen? Because obviously the public explanation was one the fans weren't happy with. Did you have any other sort of explanation from
them? No, it was the same.
And just given what you're saying about actually hoping to stay longer, how does it feel like to see, like, a story last weekend about someone from the club talking about engineering your exit and caring and placing a partner and all that stuff? What does that fit into? Obviously that's not been denied or footage yet, so how does that fit into all this?
Yeah, well, it was interesting when it came, when I was shown that. My honest take, I thought it was a cowardly action by whoever it is. It's not something that you would want, and certainly my relationships with the guys that I am close with here within the board, then I would struggle to understand the why, because like I said, since I've come back in 2016, or came here first and then doing my second stint, all I've tried to do is drive the club forward. Was I surprised by it, Michael? Not really. I think I was briefed upon the first time I was here when I left, and now since I've come back. But I'm thick-skinned, and it's because I want to do so well here and determined to do so well. But I know Dermot, Michael, the guys that I work with on a daily basis, or certainly communicate with on a daily basis, they feel the same as I. But of course, when it comes out, and when the need for that to be out there like that, I think if you speak to any of my staff here, you speak to players, they know all I ever do is give everything for them. I respect them. Most of them will have got new contracts in my times here. Staff will have had new deals and you know, increased their wages, and so I always try to improve the conditions for them. And okay, if there's something to nitpick, I would say, yeah, my drive is to make Celtic the very best it can be, but all within, not unrealistic, not Premier League money, not, you know, millions and millions and millions. And if you look at what I've spent to what has been brought in, that will also tell you. So yeah, it's disappointing when it does come out, and like I said, it's a cowardly action, but it just makes me more determined to succeed here.
That sounds like you know where it came from. Is that fair to say?
No.
I mean, I think back a few weeks ago, I think Dodgy, a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, he said that some people don't want you in this job, and we didn't really know what I meant. Was that what you were referring to? Were you even, you know, picking up on something? Or that?
No.
No.
Was it? Timing of it then really unhelpful as well, because obviously the closing of the window, you might have thought we can bring everyone back together, but for something like that to come out, it doesn't help.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's not what you want to waken up on a Saturday and be shown. And I think the people who know me closely, know me well, know my affinity for here, they know what I want. But they also know I don't sit comfortable, and if someone wants to sit comfortable and be happy with what they've got, then I'm their own manager to facilitate that, because I'll always demand that continual improvement and want continual improvement. And it's not, you know, to say the club is broken, and it's so further from the truth. I'm close with all the staff, both here and at Celtic Park. They know my best interest is for Celtic. It's all I want for this club to succeed. And but for that, if I'm sat comfortable, then it's not going to work. So I have to get uncomfortable, and then that means I have to then ask questions that maybe people don't like, and then that's my job.
Dyson Meredith said on international duty that he was possibly close to leaving on deadline day. Can you just provide a bit of clarity on that, and where his head is at the moment?
Yeah, well to me, I wasn't surprised by that, because I've known since the end of February where Dyson was at. You know, we spoke a lot. He's continued to give everything in his game and his training. Yet he had a few options to go, and wondered what would have been great for him and his family and in terms of his life. But it didn't materialise. So it's now my job to now he's here again, is to convince him to go again. And I've done that with players before. You know, Luis Suarez nearly, you know, had at the end of my first season when it was deemed he was going to Arsenal, and I had to convince him to stay, and then he ended up having an amazing season, and then after that went to Barcelona. So so it's not new to my career. Players, they will have challenges, but I think everyone sees the integrity of which he works, how he plays, and now if I can reconnect all of that again, then he'll, I'm sure, pretty sure he will give his all whilst he's playing.
Brendan, you spoke about Keogh and Nicholas Kuhn going, and I think you were speaking about if they don't want to be here, maybe better off for you, but with Dyson, was it just totally different in the sense it came so late in the window and given everything that happened?
You know, I still feel that if a player does want to move on, and then we have to be prepared for that. I think in this window we clearly weren't prepared for it, and it just couldn't happen. But my feeling's still the same, you know. And especially if you've got a player who's been here 4 years, given his absolute all, and he wants to have another challenge before maybe going back to Japan, then that was maybe the right thing for him. But certainly the position we were in, and being so late, we couldn't make that happen for him, sadly.
In terms of the business model of the club then, with him next summer going into his last year of his contract, do you imagine January will be the point where you have to cash in? You don't want to lose.
We're just out of this one, don't go in January. Give us a wee breather.
You're going to have to cash in if you want to continue that
cycle. Write that down then.
And do that. Is that what your thoughts are though? It's going to have to be, is it not?
I haven't even thought about it.
Kieran Tierney and Tony
Ralston,
are they after international duty?
Yeah, Kieran's just got back in training, so that's good. So he knows he's having to step up his work. But he's obviously been out for 8 or 9 days. Tony, yeah, he's obviously unavailable and will be in a boot for a little bit longer. But yeah, hopefully he'll be back in a little while.
Is he actually good to go on Sunday?
Yeah, he'll be available. It's the one thing with Kells, he was a player that trained every day and he was always available. And he has real special moments in games, and I expect him, with the love he'll feel here within the day-to-day work with the supporters, he can be a real exciting talent for us, and I really hope he does, because he's got big qualities and he's a good guy.
Just to finish off, in terms of your saving, are you planning to sit and speak to Dermot and Michael and everything to try and come to some agreement?
Yeah, I'm speaking to Michael later on this afternoon.
Because from the outside looking at it, does feel, I know you're saying you're hoping that everybody can be aligned, it does feel a bit as if there's not a connection there between you and the board and the Ross Centre.
No, listen, on a personal level, it's absolutely fine. I have a huge respect for Dermot. Big reason why I came back. You know, he's always supported me, and from a personal perspective, like I said, Michael and Chris, who I work with on a day-to-day basis, good guys. You know, these are guys that are in Christmas Day in the football club, feeding the kids, and you know, when we're there and doing all the things that they want to do for Celtic, and you know, so these are honest guys. What we need to, in my opinion, what we need to do is try and ensure that our football model can be lined up, otherwise we're just going to be in this cycle. But they're good people, they're good guys, and but we have to do more than that if we're going to progress as a football club.
Brendan, any concerns about Sunday, potential for fans to not be in at the start of the game to voice their frustrations, any concerns about how that impacts your players?
No, I think for us, of course, my message, and again, the fans will be, and I can't, like I said, I can't tell them how to feel, I can't tell them what to do, all I want to be able to do is let them understand that they mean everything to us, and when they get behind the team, they lift us. And it's having that lift as often as we possibly can, for as many minutes as we possibly can. And hopefully we can start on a run now from Sunday to be able to lift them and everything and reconnect.
Is it something you need to address with the players, perhaps to pre-warn them so they don't get spooked by it or get caught unawares? I don't know how much they follow these types of things. Is it something you'll address with
them? I'm pretty sure they'll be aware of it, but we just need to focus on the football aspect of it, and then hopefully, as I said, we can get that support that can really drive the team forward.
That's a good question, please. Yeah. Afternoon, Brendan, sorry.
Hi, yeah.
I was at a meeting the other night, attended by 100 Celtic fans who represented 10,000 of Celtic fans. Emotions were high, as you might imagine, a lot of confusion, a lot of annoyance, and pretty angry about once again. We haven't improved the quality of the squad before a major Champions League playoff match. And it's made it a lot more difficult than it should have been, and I think the phrase you use is manufacturing their own stress. There's a lot of anger about it, and the fans plan to vent frustrations on Sunday by, as Gordon said, they're going to come in the 12th minute, signifying it's like a 12th man. I mean, ideally Celtic fans just want to go along and watch the football, that's it. But I don't think these are going to go away, these types of protests. Because the fans are really angry, not you, not the players, but the people who run the club. So my question, do you have a message for the Celtic fans moving forward?
Yeah, it's... I understand the frustration, and as I said, but I also know that the quicker we can become one and become together, that's where the strength lies in itself. The everyone together, fighting for the one cause, that's the real power of Celtic, and I never want that to be broken, and for other people and other clubs to look on us in any other way other than together. And I think that would be my aim and my message to the guys. As I said, I can't tell Celtic supporters how you feel. You've been doing it, you've been going through it maybe for a long period. Of course there is that frustration, but what makes this club unique is exactly that. It's the passion and the commitment which will sometimes bring these things to the boil. But I'm pretty sure that the guys behind the scenes as well in our board won't want this either, and we hope that we can find a solution that gets everyone reconnected again. But also I don't want to underestimate how much of a lift that the supports can give us. It's absolutely critical, and we do have an exciting period of time, and also what a time to show our togetherness and our strength in every way, and hopefully we can do that.
Thank you.
Sorry, can I just ask one question? Aye. Sorry to finish on a negative. It's not that negative. The person who was talking to the paper with that story on the Saturday morning, do you think the club should do an investigation, find out who it is, and you called them cowardly? Do you think they should resign if it's found out who they are?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think if you're sat in the position that I'm in, with, like I said, the weight of the club on your shoulders to be the spokesperson, to be the manager, and be the psychologist, and be everything, it's so important that you feel supported. And I think that, like I said, it's anyone that is briefing against that person, and whenever they know, they could come and speak to me at any time. And I'm here from early morning to late in the evening, or come to my house or do whatever. I would never think, listen, we all will have frustrations at times in our life, and especially Celtic people, we're always either moan about something or say something. But I would never ever think, and there's no disrespect to me, I would never ever think of going to bring that to the fore, to hurt someone else. Especially that when that someone else is trying to give everything to the club, and he actually didn't have to come back but wanted to come back because of his love for the club. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that there'll be some questions asked on it, because like I said, it was quite a bit of detail in there, and wrong I may add, but hopefully we'll find out. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me